This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
This week's Song of the Week is really two bars of the week, a lyrical fragment. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing the matter with the rest of the song, but there's a line that always intrigued me.
I like New York in June, how about you? I like a Gershwin tune, how about you? A fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. In a movie show when all the lights are low, may not be new, but I like it. How about you?
Judy Garland, a big hit in 1941 and still sung today, notwithstanding a few period references. I like New York in June, how about you? I like a Gershwin tune. That's the line that almost as soon as I became aware of the song stuck out to me. In 1941, George Gershwin had been dead for 4 years, and the reference just seemed striking in its specificity. Why not a Porter tune or a Berlin or Rogers tune? I once heard Diane Carroll sing I Like an Arlen Tune, as in Harold Arlen, Over the Rainbow and all that. Alec Wilder, the composer of I'll Be Around, happened to be in the audience for Frank Sinatra's opening night at the Copacabana, and Frank sang I Like a Wilder Tune. Michael Bublé sings I Like a Bernstein Tune. But none of these substitutions ever seems to work. How About You is not a Gershwin tune, it is a Burton Lane tune. Burton Lane is not as famous as George Gershwin, but he did discover Judy Garland, whom we just heard, and he has a terrific catalogue. By way of illustration, two Broadway scores from 20 years apart. First, here's Judy with a song from Finian's Rainbow, 1947.
Look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil that you stole from the sky. It's that old devil in your eyes.
And from a Broadway show, two decades later, a great Burton Lane title song.
On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who you are.
I like that Burton Lane tune. How about you? He wrote for Broadway and for Hollywood, and everyone thought his tunes were top drawer. As to the lyrics of How About You, they're by a far more obscure writer, Ralph Freed. Here I am from many years ago asking Burton Lane about Ralph Freed.
You've worked with some of the great lyric writers, but Ralph Freed is really in a little bit of a different situation in that his only standard was written with you, and although he wrote innumerable other songs, none of them have survived quite like that. I wondered how your collaboration came about with him.
My collaboration came about with him. He was Arthur Freed's brother. Arthur, of course, was a lyric writer who wrote Singing in the Rain and tremendous, all the Broadway melody songs.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again.
He was a very good pop writer, excellent writer, who became the outstanding producer of musical pictures in Hollywood, at MGM, certainly. He was the one who introduced me to his brother. And I thought Ralph was an underrated writer. I thought he wrote better than his reputation would show. And at that time, when I met him, he had one song which had been a big hit, A Little Dutch Mill.
There's a little Dutch mill on a little Dutch hill where the little Dutch stars shine bright. Now a little Dutch boy and his little Dutch girl fell in love by the mill one night.
In a little Dutch mill, I don't remember the song, but that was the one big hit he had before I met him. And then, of course, we did have I Like New York and June, How About You for Judy and Mickey and Babes on Broadway.
Now, would you do something for me?
If I can.
Will you sing me a song?
How do you know I can?
Because you sing when you talk. When you walk. Why, your eyes are... Why, they're singing right now.
They are?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll be darned.
When a girl meets boy, life can be a joy, but the note they end on will depend on little pleasures they will share. So let us compare. I like New York in June, how about you? I like a Gershwin tune, how about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight, and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you? I like Jack Benny's jokes
to a degree.
I love the common folks.
That includes me.
I like to window shop on Fifth Avenue.
I like banana splits, late supper at the Ritz. How about you?
I love to dream of fame. Maybe I'll shine.
I'd love to see your name right beside mine.
I can see we're in harmony.
Looks like we both agree on what to do.
And I how about you?
That's a catalogue song, and obviously a lot of the charm in a song like that is in the lyric. Does that make it a less exciting song for a composer to work on?
No, I love songs that have lyrics that you people love to sing. Mm. I made a contribution there, too. I like a Gershwin tune.
So
Other than the title phrase, the song's most famous line of lyric was not written by the lyric writer, but by the composer. I like a Gershwin tune, how about you? Everybody likes I like a Gershwin tune. Cabaret singers name their Gershwin tribute shows after the line. Newspaper headline writers like it. A Beach Boy has dusted off some of George's stuff. Brian Wilson likes a Gershwin tune. Musicologists like it. The operatic and symphonic composer Ned Roram wondered why he liked a Gershwin tune. Is it the chromatic descent of The Man I Love, the anacrusic design of Embraceable You? Playwrights like I like a Gershwin tune. All right, what shall we talk about? How about you? I like New York in June. I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? Not much to tell, really. I live with my aunt. Novelists like I like a Gershwin tune. From Judith Krantz's blockbuster I'll Take Manhattan, I'm gonna hit the trail, kid, before monsoon season starts. I like a Gershwin tune, but babe, I hate New York in June.
I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in the movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you?
I like a Gershwin tune.
Well, I was about to ask you about that because so many people have commented on the affinity between you and George Gershwin. And I think it was Yip Harburg who said some years ago now that you wrote the way George Gershwin might have written if he'd still be around. You're the only person whose melodies, I think the word Yip Harburg used was effervesced like George Gershwin's. Is there a special admiration you have for George Gershwin?
I should say there is. I was a great, great fan of George's from the moment I became conscious of songwriting. I was a teenager. I was a young, 11 to 12 or 13 years old. The minute I heard Gershwin's music, my father was a great lover of musical comedies, and every Friday, because the Saturday there would be no school and I could stay up late, my dad would take my stepmother and me and my brother to some musical show. And I can only tell you that when the orchestra started, when the overture started, and I saw the conductor get up and raise his baton, I started trembling at a Gershwin show.
Something that exciting. I thought he was the most exciting composer in the theater. I grew to love Kurt. Kern and Frimmel and Romberg, but there was a certain excitement that I felt, the originality of George. There was a great theatrical excitement in his music.
Fans, but Burton Lane became a Gershwin friend. If he liked a Gershwin tune, well, George Gershwin liked a Burton Lane tune, and he became a mentor to the younger composer. And Ira Gershwin introduced him to potential lyricists like Yip Harburg.
Yip had been in the electrical appliance business and had gone out of business, had failed. And he once said that capitalism forced him into doing something he really always wanted to do, and that was to write songs. He had started out as a capitalist, and he had gone into business with someone he had gone to college with in the electrical appliance. I can't even imagine him in that kind of a situation.
How are things in Glaucomora? Is that little brook still to Donegal, through Killybegs, Kilcarry and Kildare?
Burton Lane didn't write a lot of words, but when he did, they were choice. He gave Ralph Freed the gift of I Like a Gershwin Tune, How About You? And after he wrote that tune for Finian's Rainbow, he gave Yip Harburg a dummy lyric. That's what they used to do in the days before MP3 files and cassette machines. Just some nonsense words to help the lyricist fix the stresses of the tune in his head. And the words Bert gave Yip Harburg were, "There's a glen in Glaucomora." As our Irish listeners will know, there is no such Irish village as Glaucomora, or if there is, you can only get to it by taking the ferry from Brigadoon. So Burton Lane just made up an Irish village, and very musical it is on those notes. Aside from liking a Gershwin tune, he also came to like a Gershwin lyric.
Now, a couple of years after that, you did one of the last scores with a man who made his name 30 years earlier, Ira Gershwin. And again, like Alan J. Lerner, he has a reputation for taking his time over his work, particularly in view of your admiration of George. Did you enjoy working with Ira?
I loved working with Ira. I can tell you I was very frightened at the thought. I was asked by an agent who I would like to do this film with. The picture had been offered to me, and I said, well, I'll give you two names, but, you know, I'm sure the first person, my first choice, won't say yes. And my first choice was Ira Gershwin. I met the Gershwins when I was about 17 years old, 17 or 18 years old. I was a teenager and a great fan of George's. But as I got to know the Gershwins and heard them with their writing their new songs, I went through a number of shows with them, observing how they worked. I became more and more impressed with Ira. I realized what a good lyric meant to a melody, and how Ira, who was really a genius, and if it hadn't been that his brother skyrocketed to stardom, Ira would have skyrocketed, you know. I think George just was so overwhelming. But Ira was a tremendous lyric writer. The sad experience was that the picture we worked on was so terrible.
Was it so terrible? Because the songs, a lot of the songs are... I mean, Ira thought highly enough to include several of the songs in lyrics book, on yes. several occasions, yes. and he left out a lot of others he'd written with George and Vernon Duke and Harold Arlen, all kinds of, so obviously he thought there was some good
well,
things.
Well, we both liked the songs we wrote, and we both had a wonderful time working on them. Ira was a very diligent worker. It wasn't that he ever was slow writing a lyric. He just, you had to get him to say, yes, he'll do it. I remember a story went around that if one were to ask Ira what he was going to do this coming year, he'd say, well, I have 4 pictures to get out of doing, and I got 2 shows to get out of doing. It seemed he had built a reputation of not wanting to work, but this really wasn't true. I found he was happiest when he was working. One of the nice things about Ira was that we would meet every day around 2:00 in the afternoon. We had each had homework to do. I would write a melody to a lyric. He would write a lyric to a melody. And then we'd come together. And when he was working on a lyric, and I'd play the melody, he'd say, well, what do you think of this? And he'd sing a couplet to me, you know, and he'd look at me. And if I didn't respond, he'd say, well, now, how about this one? He had written maybe 8 couplets. And I'd say, oh, that's good. And then he'd beam, you know, that he was pleased that he had, out of what he had done, something was right.
The state of our union, hearts in communion, never will know any foreign entanglements. Outsiders will not rate in our United State.
He had great respect for my opinion as I did for his. I remember once he gave me a lyric to set, a song called Applause, Applause. And I remember was sitting in his living room. He was across the room sitting on a sofa, and I was at the piano, and I played the tune for him. And Ira was not a demonstrative fellow. In fact, I never saw him embrace his wife or kiss any. I mean, he just was not that kind of a person, but very warm and very loving. So I played this melody for Applause, Applause that I wrote, and he says, oh, play it again. And I was looking down at the piano, I wasn't looking at Ira, and suddenly I became aware of somebody's arm around my shoulder. He had walked across the room, come behind me, and just put his arm on my shoulder, and I looked up at him, and he was beaming.
Applause, applause, we like applause because it means when it is striking us, the audience is liking us.
Our work demands you don't sit on your hands, and if the hand's tremendous,
you send us. We live, we thrive,
you keep us all alive. With bravo, bravo and bravissimo, we're dead if it's pianissimo. Our work is work, is work we never shirk, in a happy land of tinsel and gold.
I felt so good because this was the first thing that we had done together. That was a way of showing his approval of what I had done.
I think that's probably more emotion than a lot of people got out of.
I was ecstatic, you know, because first of all, he had worked with George, he worked with Arthur Schwartz, he had worked with Kurt Weill, Harold Allen. He'd written with some pretty good writers. And for him to show this kind of pleasure at something I had done was really, that was the big reward.
Burton Lane liked a Gershwin lyric, and Ira Gershwin liked a Burton Lane tune. Debbie Reynolds and an oddly austere-like Bob Fosse gave it their best shot in a lousy movie called Give a Girl a Break. But played that for me at the piano and made me sing the You Send Us line. It's such a buoyant, joyful song, but Burton Lane's one-line contribution to the lyric was born of profound love and loss. It was 1941, George Gershwin had been dead since 1937, and it was not yet clear whether his name would resound down the decades as it has done. Burton Lane wanted to make sure that his friend and mentor was at least memorialized within the American songbook. There are, in fact, 2 real-life 20th century Americans name-checked in that song. Here's the second.
I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. I'm Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill.
It was was always a slightly odd aspect of the president to focus on, and it seemed even odder after April 1945, which was when he died. But what to substitute? Frank Sinatra loved FDR. In fact, a very persistent rumor said that his son, Frank Jr., was named not after Pop, but after Franklin Roosevelt, Franklin Wayne Emanuel Sinatra. Be that as it may, Frank knew who really gave him a thrill.
I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill, and James Durante's looks give me a thrill.
Well, each to his own. I think you really have to be as desirable as Frank to pull that one off. Rosie Clooney opted for a more conventional source of thrills.
And Frank Sinatra's looks give me a thrill.
Have to stand in line.
Steve Lawrence, with an eye to domestic harmony, played it safe.
I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Edie Gourmet's looks give me a thrill.
You know, almost every president after Roosevelt would have fit the notes. Harry Truman's looks, Lyndon Johnson's looks, Richard Nixon's looks, Jimmy Carter's, Ronald Reagan's. But Bobby Darin managed to pick the one that didn't.
And Mr. Kennedy's looks give me a thrill.
That's a fine record, but the awkwardly wedged in extra syllable always niggles me. I wonder what Ralph Freed made of it. Burton Lane and I did him a slight injustice earlier on. His catalogue isn't just How About You and Little Dutch Mill. How about this ballad?
You leave me breathless, you heavenly thing. You look so wonderful, you're like a breath of spring.
Mildred Bailey sings Ralph Freed. Oh, and he wrote the lyrics to the Hawaiian war chant. And if you're saying, hey, wait a minute, the lyrics to the Hawaiian war chant are in Hawaiian. Well, not always.
There's a sunny little funny little melody that was started by a native down in Waikiki. He would gather a crowd down beside the sea and they'd play his gay Hawaiian chant. Soon the other little natives started singing it, and the hula hula maiden started swinging it. Like a tropical storm, that's the way it hit. Funny little gay Hawaiian chant.
Ralph Freed putting words to a tune written in the 1860s by Prince Leleohoku II, future Prince Regent of Hawaii, but then just a 12-year-old boy. If you take a boat from Hawaii and sail northeast, you'll eventually hit the Canadian coast, where Ralph Freed was born in British Columbia on May Day 1907. Yes, he liked Vancouver in May, and he liked a Leleohoku tune, but he was savvy enough not to put either in the song. Here's Burton Lane at the piano with a rather frilly accompaniment for a somewhat stiff Michael Feinstein. But it's touching.
Like we both agree on what to do, and
song from me to you, Michael Feinstein, accompanied by the composer, Burton Lane. Words, most of the words, by Ralph Freed. I like New York in June. How about you?
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.